Sorry. I'm sorry.
Hey, what's going on? It's the Film Drunk Frogcast. I'm Vince Mancini from filmdrunk.com. That's where you may know me, or from other places that I've been. I was just in LA. Maybe you know me from there. Probably not, though. We got half a crew in here. We got Brett, the grumpiest man in podcasting, live from New York.
With the other two missing, does that promote me to upbeat facilitator of conversation?
Yeah. Yes, I think it does.
Yes! Yes!
Yeah, I mean, it definitely helps. When someone else leaves, you get a better position. That's just how life works.
Sweet.
We also got Matt Lieb here.
Bing! I figured that's what you were going to do, but yeah, hi. How are you guys doing?
I didn't have it ready. Well, I can't like man the levels. I can't get the level set and play my reggae horn at the same time.
You need to buy a separate computer just for that so that you can... Oh, there it is. Beautiful. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Sorry that Ben and Brendan...
It's Brendan.
It's not Brandon?
No, Brendan.
He's not... Brandon.
No, Bren.
Bren.
Dan.
Brendan.
Not Brandon. Or Brendan. Or Brendan. It's Brendan.
I don't think I've ever said his name right to his face. This whole time, I'm like, hey, Brandon!
Anyway, so... We were going to talk about this Smarm article that we read on Gawker that I thought was interesting and had an aside about Do the Right Thing. We actually all saw Do the Right Thing. But then Brenda decided to email me at 6:10 and tell me that he's not going to show up. So we're going to switch topics.
Wait, hold on. Stop right there.
Okay.
So we're not going to talk about the 5,000-word article that I spent all morning reading.
I think it was more like 8,000, to be fair.
Really? Was it more words?
It's got to be more than 5. It was really long.
Yeah, it was a lot of words.
That's funny. I thought I was picking a ridiculously high number.
You know.
I thought I was like, fucking 5 billion words. It's 8,000 words.
Well, put it this way. Like, when I write a movie review, I usually shoot for like 800, 850 words. Yeah. And I usually write about 1,000. And damn. That was way longer than like 5 times a movie review. I mean, that was like Jesus. A good. That was
are
like,
you are you quantitatively measuring all things in terms of way longer or way shorter than movie review?
Right. Whenever someone tells me a long story, I'm like, whoa, Brendan, that's like 4 movie reviews worth of information.
Yeah.
I'm gonna need to back up, slow down.
These Radagast red velvet puppy poppers are way longer than a movie review. And thumbs down, 1 star.
Right, so you may remember Matt Lieb from the Denny's Hobbit videos.
Yeah, I was there.
What was the aftermath of that? Like, you had to actually shit during the meal.
Yeah, I actually took a shit during the meal, and I took a shit immediately after. I had to take a shit on the bus back home, and I did. I waited.
There's nowhere to poop on the bus.
Yeah, there really isn't, and I have a really weird. I mean, I don't have IBS, but only because a doctor has never told me that I have IBS, mm-hmm. but I think I might have IBS because like I have to shit a lot.
Yeah, and, I'm pretty sure I have it.
Yeah, and I get into like shit emergencies. Like I've never shit myself or I've never like had to take a shit on the ground, but I've thought to myself like this is it. This is the moment.
This is the day.
This is the day.
This is my time to shine. Yeah. It's all been building up to this.
Yeah, my whole life all defined in one moment of public pooping. Yeah, it was bad. The food wasn't as bad as I actually ate there again and had another Smaug's Fire Burger.
Did you really?
I did. Yeah, it was good because I was at Denny's with some people and I was like, you know what, I can recommend the Smaug's Fire Burger. It's actually pretty good.
So do you believe in pronouncing it Smaug?
Smaug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I hear
there's never been another time in history where you can officially recommend Smaug's Fire Burger.
Yeah, there really isn't because it's
unique.
It's for a limited time. They're not going to keep Smaug's Fire Burger on the Denny's menu forever and a day. You know, this is it.
Yeah, you got a limited time. That's the whole point of it.
Right. Yeah, so I had it again, and it was great. It was great the second time. I took a shit, though, like, again.
Yeah. Well, the Smaug's...
Is it timed? Is it like clockwork where you know 23 minutes, let's say, right after a Smaug's Fire Burger that you're going
to
shit.
I wouldn't be able to give you an exact time, but I know when I have to take a shit. My body tells me. Like, it sends a signal to my brain, and it says, Matt, you're going to have to take a poo real soon. And it's
Do you get lip sweats? Do you get upper lip sweats?
Well, if I do, I don't notice because I have this mustache.
It soaks up the lip sweats. Yeah. That's why he grows it.
Yeah, I grow it to soak up my lip sweat. Because otherwise, how would I know if I have to take a shit?
But that's like, you know, when you're petting a dog and they bristle or something, that's a warning sign. That's a inner species warning sign that right. You are masking. You are like a shark that is just swimming normally and then takes an arm off. You're incredibly dangerous with a mustache hiding the lip sweat right before you poop on the ground.
Yeah, that's been one of many reasons why people told me to shave it. They say because I'm a ticking time bomb. But I'm going to keep it anyways.
So have you had any weird sexual experiences since the last time we talked to you?
Because
I know that was like a very popular topic.
People liked that.
Well, look, when you talk about a guy who gets choked out and then spat on and he just deals with it. Choked out and spat on in a minivan. I think that's a key part of the story.
Yep. Yeah, that's true.
And you just dealt with it because she had nice boobs.
I dealt with it because it was worth it. It was worth it in the end.
Okay.
And, you know, I knew what I was in for somewhat. I mean, I didn't know I was about to get choked on so hard that I would bruise, but I was down. Whether or not, let's see, if I had, actually, I haven't had any, like, specific weird sexual experiences.
No more minivans this week, though.
No minivans this week. I have been seeing this girl, though, who is, I've been seeing her on and off for a few months, and I think I might be closing in on a relationship.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Does she make you food?
She hasn't yet made
That's me... how you tell if you're in a relationship.
Well, right. No, yeah. She hasn't yet made me food, but she has talked about... She knows how to bake apple pie.
Okay.
Ooh, and she's talked about maybe I'll bake you an apple pie.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. You know,
it sounds really hard. It's kind of, I think apple pie is kind of... Brett.
Super hard to make.
Brett.
I made apple pie.
It's deceptively easy, though, isn't it?
It is remarkably easy.
But what about all this?
Almost nothing to it.
Wait, but... okay. I've had... My ex-girlfriend made me an apple pie one time, and it was good, but there was a lot of juice in it.
Oh, right. Well, I'm not saying it's not... There's not easy to fuck up. I'm just saying the act of doing it sounds more labor intensive than it actually is, I think.
Well, you got to cut up a lot of apples.
It's true.
Yeah,
you have to cut up a lot of apples.
You could use canned apples like a loser.
Yeah,
I don't think that's a thing.
They got canned apples.
I don't think anybody has canned apples.
They got canned peaches. Why wouldn't they have canned apples?
You're right. I've actually never seen canned apples, but I assume they were real because they sounded real.
Well, why wouldn't they? I mean, if you have a canned peach, why wouldn't you can an apple?
Peaches are squishy and apples are not squishy.
That's true. Apples stay much. They don't go as bad like peaches.
I think you sauce an apple. You impart the squishiness to the apple, then you can put it in a can.
Yeah.
Wait, but hold on. They've got bags of apple slices you can get at McDonald's.
That's terrifying. That is indicative of so many different things that are wrong.
Have you ever eaten any of them? So then how can you criticize?
Who are you to criticize?
You know, but the apples, when you cut them open, they turn brown. That is the natural state of appleness.
You are so snarky that I can't.
Can't handle your smart. Oh, well. No, this is just a reaction to your smart.
This is
going to be a recurring thing where we're inserting.
Yeah, I'm going to.
So should we just talk about this so people don't wonder what the fuck we're talking about?
I think we should put it off a little bit longer.
Okay. All right. That's good.
Just build some sexual frustration here.
No, I like that. All right. We do have a song of the week before that.
All right.
You guys remember Tay Allen?
No.
She sang the song Mass Text?
No. Sounds tight, though.
When are you going to get my mass text? You get my mass text.
Wait, so is she sending that out to everyone again a second time, and then everyone just replies, I already got it? Wait, how does that work?
I'm not sure, but...
Who's the you?
We'd have to listen to that song in order to get it. Okay, so...
No, you don't have to listen. So this girl is like... She reminds me of... Like a Mormon family sent their weird daughter to theater school.
Oh, okay.
And then she became like a sorority girl.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can clean my room if I try. Sweep, sweep, brush. Sweep, sweep, brush. I don't think so.
sees my room and he is so horrified. He cannot believe that I live in this grime. Sometimes I cringe and I kick my stuff aside. We'll deal with it another time. You say it's bad, but you do not really know that my confidence only continues to grow. Others' judgment really is my only bow. Let's be real, this ain't a chateau. My friends are everywhere. Free moment.
She looks a lot like Kesha to me.
Well, yeah, she's like kind of fatter than Kesha, but not in a mean way.
So in July,
was that song about her room being messy?
Yeah, it was. This is the girl that did the magic themed graduation speech at USC last year.
Well, do you have that?
I do.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
magic themed, like yeah. Magic the Gathering.
Yeah,
like the Gathering.
Yeah. Magic the Gathering.
I think more like Harry Potter.
Oh, okay. All right.
Representing the Bachelor of Arts students is Taylor Allen. Taylor feels incredibly grateful to have achieved such success and had such a rewarding experience at USC.
I love that it's USC because I don't feel like there's any school that I feel more comfortable hating everything about than USC.
Yeah, that's okay. Wait.
She talked about magic at her college graduation?
Oh, yes.
Throughout her 4 years, she was constantly excited to utilize every opportunity USC gave her. She was cast in multiple student productions and 4 School of Theater shows, including leading roles as Sally in Fifth of July and Poncha in The House of Bernard.
Yeah, talk about all of her leading roles.
It feels so gratifying to disseminate this to the world because... you know, I dated a theater major for 3 years in New York, and god damn, some of the things that I had to sit through was unbelievable.
Yeah, no, there's I hate theater. I'm comfortable saying this out loud. I hate theater people, like, pretty much across the board. Theater people are the worst human beings in the world. They're worse than every other type of person. Like, people hate... like jocks and whatnot, and like I get that. Like sometimes with jocks, I'm just like, oh god, fucking meatheads, dumb, whatever.
They're not begging for your attention.
No, they're not.
You're just like, okay, I don't want to hang out with that guy, and he's like, okay, don't hang out with me.
And at the end of the day, they're just trying to get laid. They're just trying to like fuck, you know. Yeah. And I kind of get that.
For the most part, asshole jocks just don't care about you,
right? Yeah, and like that's kind of why you hate them a little bit.
Yeah,
you know? It'd be like, ah, fucking wish, you know. A little part of me is like, wish they were my friend, but it's like. But theater people are fucking the devil. They like, they're just, every part about them, they're just, they scream for attention, and everything they do is the most serious thing that you can even know. Everything they do is serious. They take everything too serious. Let's hear what she has to say.
You like ran out of vitriol there.
I'm sorry.
Social scene, which led to her becoming president of the Theater Students Association and throwing some of the best themed parties at USC.
Throwing some of the best theme parties. Beautiful. Good for you.
She intends to stay in Los Angeles to continue to build upon her friendships and her craft as an actor. Taylor.
God damn.
Pulled out a wand from her cleavage.
Wandering magic bring to us in this
life
luck we need.
Stop
so
it.
Our angels can be seen
God.
And thus fulfill our every dream.
Come on, it's not as funny as I thought.
Oh, but you don't realize how funny your discomfort is.
Keep it going.
Overruled. Overruled, Brett. Sorry.
Class of 2011, we've all just partaken in a good luck spell. I chose to bring our class together in a spell because I truly believe that together our class has created the magic.
It's funny because there's like the certain theater people that are into like, you know, realistic acting, and then there's the other ones that are sort of the musical theater people,
right,
where
yeah.
everything they do is this weird like Disney princess
yep.
put on.
Yep. They are two sides of the same coin, though. I urge you to hate them as much as I do, because
I beseech you.
Like these. So you've got like theater people who are just really into art, and mm-hmm. like the, you know, them being nude is like a huge yeah, thing.
They always get naked. That was the yeah. only good thing about the plays, is like sometimes
just so eager.
Yeah, someone would just get naked and like throw dirt on themselves.
Yeah,
like, okay.
I mean, yeah.
Also, has performance art ever been anything but the dumbest fucking thing ever?
Yeah, I mean, I've never like seen a performance art crossover that have been like, you know what, this movie started out as a performance art piece, you know, by naked hippies. You know, like, that really doesn't.
I've never seen a performance art piece where that, like, changed the way I thought about the world.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Maybe we're already open minded, bro. Have you ever think about that?
Maybe.
That's why acid never worked for me. I already see from all perspectives. But yeah, the musical theater people, just as bad. It's the same thing.
Well, because it's a certain way, like, all the scripts aren't necessarily realistic in any real way. They're more just like you have to put on this weird stylized character.
The histrionics of the affair.
Yeah, it's like
the enunciation.
Yeah.
It's funny. Do you watch, you guys watch, you watch Homeland, right, Brett?
I only got through the first four episodes.
Oh, you haven't seen F. Murray Abraham yet. But are you familiar with his acting?
Yeah.
You can just, like, everything he says has sort of that, like, I've been trained in theater resonance to it.
He definitely has, like, a classical, like, you could tell he does a lot of plays like, yeah, and whatnot. Yeah. But he's still good. I like
he's
him.
He's good, but there's, like, nothing he says that doesn't sound Shakespearean.
I mean,
it's like one beer away from slipping into a full fake British.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not saying that he wasn't a dorky-ass kid, but I'm just saying, like, as an old man, he's great. Yeah, he's great.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with him. I'm just saying that you can tell when someone has trained in the types of theater that aren't based on
realism.
Like,
yeah.
They're more like they're projecting when they're
right.
They're so used to projecting on stage that they project like in
right.
their regular speech.
Yeah, that's how I feel about some sitcom actors.
Yeah.
Like the guy from The New Normal who was in The Book of Mormon. He's like,
I haven't seen. Oh, Josh Gad?
No, not Josh Gad. Josh Gad is good.
I haven't seen Book of Mormon, and everybody says Josh Gad is, like, amazing in it.
That's what he said, and I can't even picture that.
Yeah, well, because Josh Gad shows up in all these movies, and you're like, really, they cast that guy who's not Jonah Hill again?
Right.
And everybody's like, no, dude, he's amazing in Book of Mormon.
Yeah, I wish I could have seen it. But what happens at the end? Does she do magic?
A theater and the magic of friendship.
Oh, God. Oh, even the bubbly giggles are fake.
Magic uses precisely defined actions to reach an otherworldly experience. Use a precisely defined action. Isn't that what Joe Hacker is always telling us when we're bumbling around trying to find meaning in a film script?
Stop.
I feel like I'm watching Wicked.
Oh.
Have you guys seen Wicked? I like
musicals. I have, actually.
Yeah, I really see a lot of musicals.
Do you cry? Like, you cry at a lot of movies.
Oh, yeah. I cry at everything.
You cried at Wreck-It Ralph, correct?
Yeah, I did cry at Wreck-It Ralph.
Okay.
That was recent.
But it was such an Iron Giant ripoff. They even had him flying in the same way. It was
all right.
Hurt me.
I would love you to see Inside Llewyn Davis, because I feel like you would just be crying the entire time.
What is Inside Llewyn Davis?
It's the new Coen Brothers.
Oh, I want to see.
It's really, really, really good.
It's a lot of tears. Did you cry?
Really good.
When does it come out?
No, I just felt like really. I just felt that feeling of intense catharsis.
So you cried?
No, I didn't.
You were gonna.
I'm not above crying at movies. I have cried at movies.
Yeah,
I cried at Mr. Angel and a band called. It's really hard to watch a band called Death without crying. There's a lot of like funerals and families coming together. And
yeah, I still haven't seen that, but I've heard it's fucking amazing.
I have weird triggers, like the Wistful Old Man gets me a lot of the time, and then like The Outsiders, like Finding Understanding, always gets to me. Like, really,
with me, it's mostly just like. People being mean to retards. Like, people, and then like people like banding together to help the retard is also, I'll cry then too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The, but emotionally vulnerable.
Yeah.
But isn't it more the moment where they find understanding and they sort of...
Oh, totally.
For me, it's always when they come to, when they come together as people and like, I'm like, oh, see, we can all get along.
Yeah, I do like that.
Or dogs.
But I can get that. It's funny because I get that from the simplest, like I get that from an episode of What Would You Do? Have you ever seen it? on ABC? That? It's basically they put you in a
ABC? Fake, oh, God.
They put you on a fake situation.
It's Fear Factor.
Oh, I hate that. Oh, I love that, show. Idea. Oh.
That show is the best.
That's just like the stunt where they go into a...
They'll go into a restaurant and they'll be like, say racist things. Like,
oh,
hey,
I hate
Mexican.
That. Oh, it's just like...
I hate Mexicans. And then people go, hey, don't say that to them. And then I cry.
Oh, it's just destroying the social contract. I hate it so much.
I love it, man.
I hate that stuff where they go into a public place, like the Improv Everywhere people.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it drives me insane. It's like these people are just trying to buy fruit, and then these dorks go into the grocery store, and they're like,
you want
to
know what's...
Oh, we're going to reenact Spartacus. And I'm like, keep your theater in the theater.
It doesn't matter what scenario they set. It doesn't matter like what they're trying to like see how people react. I will react to any breach of social normality as if it's a terrorist attack.
Yeah, me too.
I will just straight run the fuck out of there. I'm like, this guy thinks he's Spartacus, and I am out the fucking front door.
Is that just a city thing? Because I feel like living in the city, you just, someone does something weird, and you're like, fuck it, I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah, it's a paranoia thing where you have to have a fundamental distrust of other humans. You're not like, oh, it's fun, maybe I'll see what's going on. You immediately think someone's going to pickpocket you, someone's going to stab you when you're not looking, or someone's wearing a bomb.
But that's the thing. That's why I feel like it's a breach of the social contract, because, you know, growing up in the country, you know, something like that happens. You're like, hey, what's going on over there? And then maybe you'd see something cool. But then you move to the city, and then shit like that happens, and you're just trained like, nope, it's a trick. They're going to sell you something.
Yeah, it's a crazy guy. Yeah,
it's going to be a Scientologist.
Or somebody is going to ask for money, or I'm about to see someone take a shit in public.
When they ask you if you want a free personality test, do you think you ever just go in there and they're like, all right, man, your personality is great.
Yeah, that would be...
You're doing good.
Keep on keeping on, man.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I studied you.
Would you like a mint?
Yeah.
I studied you, your personality. You got an A+.
Yeah.
You think... the flip side is that when I'm actually confronted with something that other people think is weird but is totally normal for me, I continue reading my book.
Yeah.
Two old ladies fighting on the bus.
Do you think that when they're giving personality tests, when a fat, young, bubbly, smiling chick goes by, they go, you have a great personality. And then they just let her keep walking.
Like this?
I really believe that magic and theater correlate. We have all spent the last 4 years here.
Oh, wait, stop. Pause for a second.
Focus our amazing...
That is... God, such a fantasy for theater kids, as if they could actually, through their pretending to be other people, actually physically embody magic.
Yeah, right.
That is exactly what goes through their heads. It's just like, you know what? If I ace this slide, I'm going to create actual magic here.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn everyone, all those mat leaves, into just dirty old frogs. And I'm going to fly away on a pony that's made of pretending.
Speaking of which, Brett, I know this is I know you enjoy this topic almost as much as I enjoy this topic. Andy Serkis, his Animal Farm motion capture classic is coming out next year.
Oh, that's so tight. Is he going to play all the animals?
Not all of them, but it's going to be all performance capture. Here, I'll read you the quote, Brett.
Okay.
What we're trying to do is fairly unique. It's going to be entirely performance captured. So rather than photographing real animals and showing them with talking mouths, it will all be generated by the interaction between the actors playing those roles. The physicality and facial expressions of all the animals will come directly from actors' performances. I think I just like to read stuff that makes Brett angry. That's like half the show.
This is like part of my job, you know?
What?
It's like part of my job. I do that stuff. I do things like that. But no one understands.
It seems strange.
And it's what they're things that they're describing, they're not true.
Wait, what's your job?
I do things. I can't talk about
it. He illustrates and computer programs.
You're a motion capture guy?
No, but I use the bones, the 3D bones, and it's kind of the same thing. And there's so much that goes on after he does his dumb little ping pong ball dance, and then they're not crediting. He's imparting almost nothing. Like he is the dude that that like draws the circle before the clay guy comes in and makes a car out of it. He's the guy that delivers the clay.
Wait a second.
The guy who's going to shape it into like an Acura or something.
Are you anti Andy Serkis? Are you anti Serkis? I didn't know that about you because I always thought Andy Serkis was great. He makes he makes all motion capture great.
He makes motion. He makes magic come to life.
Yeah,
he is a circus. He is a circus come to town.
Listen.
Well, because here's my thing about it. Like I've never watched a Pixar movie. Like you know, I really like Toy Story 3. I really like Finding Nemo, WALL-E. I've never watched one of those movies and thought, you know, I really wish they had an actor come in here and pretend to be the little robot, because without it, I just don't think they've nailed that robot. I don't think they made that robot a real enough character.
Just the movement of that fish does not remind me of a human enough.
Yeah.
But doesn't he? He doesn't add anything to it. I mean,
well, he's providing a shortcut. By the time it gets through, they're going to have at least three animators touch it. The thing he's embodying is built by someone before he even gets to it. Like the 3D representation of him,
right,
connecting the dots between all those ping pong balls, that's another person's job. And his getting through that shit is dependent on them, plus all the people that calibrate all the cameras and shit.
Yeah.
Like he is one dude on a factory floor.
But his movements are so lifelike.
No, they could put any jackass off the street in there.
And I just...
Well, that's true with all acting.
Like, when you think about Gollum, when you see Gollum or Caesar from Planet of the Apes or, like, the dragon, does it really make you think, man, this is so much better than an animated movie? I kind of see it, and I'm like, you know, I wish this was either an actor or an animated thing. Like, when you try to do both, it sort of waters down both of them.
Yeah, but it's a great promo, and people buy into it because it's a hype thing. Maybe
so
not
brave.
Any jackass, but any dancer type person.
You guys are wrong. Andy Serkis as Gollum is the fucking best. You guys are so wrong. Can I just say you're wrong?
You sure?
You're wrong.
Okay.
Andy Serkis was so good as Gollum.
Do you think it's out of the realm of possibilities that Gollum without Andy Serkis would have been?
You'd have Dobby. That's who you'd have. You'd have fucking...
Who's Dobby?
Dobby from... what's the other fucking wizard shit? Harry Potter.
I checked out after the first one.
Yeah.
I didn't really like Gollum.
Well, see him again, because Gollum's great.
I will say I hated the Hobbit, but the Gollum part was kind of the only thing that I liked about the Hobbit.
That's because Andy Serkis made that character come to life.
Also,
him and all the animators that Brett's sucking off, right?
Yeah.
You
I just
want to.
I just
want to
know how what is in my pocket. That's not a fucking riddle.
What?
What is in my pocket? That was his riddle question to Gollum. That's not a riddle. What is in my pocket a riddle? That's like, oh, hey, I'm really good at riddles. Okay.
What am I thinking?
What's my birthday?
Yeah. Right.
What? That's not a fucking riddle.
That's a good point. That was not a riddle. But you can blame Tolkien for that.
Well, that's what people tend to do. If you criticize The Hobbit,
yeah,
a lot of the people that haven't seen The Hobbit, they say you're criticizing Tolkien, and that's just unacceptable.
That is unacceptable.
I enjoy their powerful use of punctuation to indicate that it is the best fantasy literature ever.
So I collected some of the comments on the early reviews of The Hobbit.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you write a negative review of The Hobbit, you have to be prepared for people to be really angry at you, even though those people haven't seen the movie yet.
Yeah.
Because it's not out yet. So I trolled some of the comments, some of my favorite.
You trolled like a dragnet, not like a bridge troll. That's gonna put out false information to further incite the angry crowd.
Here's the issue. If you hadn't guessed it, every single solitary criticism this movie critic makes is entirely a criticism of the source material. Let me repeat myself. Every single point of contention that this man brings up is not with the film, but with the source material used to create it. That source material happens to be accepted by virtually all literary authorities as the best fantasy story ever written, ever. That is all. Have a nice night.
In that person's head, do you think that there is a little crowd that goes, God, I hope he repeats himself? Do it, Carl.
So every single comment seems to fall into like these four or five basic categories, which is like you're criticizing Tolkien and you're wrong because it's the best, or you cursed and therefore you're a 12-year-old and I can't take you seriously because you're unprofessional.
Right. Yeah.
You're nothing like the elves.
Yeah. Or you're not a real fan. Why are you even reviewing this movie?
Yeah, only real fans should review movies.
Yeah,
it's just basically running down the Wikipedia cognitive fallacy list one by one.
Yeah. This is one of the most unprofessionally written movie reviews I have ever seen. Are you even aware of the socio-political undertones of this film? Between Thranduil, the elven king, the master of Lake Town, and the miniature rebellions of Bard and Toriel... Any and all aspects of the broader commentaries brought by Peter Jackson to this film are completely lost on you. You claim there is no weight to the film, but that is only because you have not the eyes to see it. Readers should not take any of your words seriously and move on. You have proven yourself a fool.
You have not the eyes to see it. That's good. Got a little mini Tolkien there.
Invalid, acting is magic, the end. It's like you don't even know the weight of a giant magical hawk.
Wait, so did you write a troll review of The Hobbit?
I did not, but after I posted that piece, I just collected some of my favorite comments because they were all so angry and hilarious.
Oh, okay.
My friend Eric Snyder pointed me to the fact that he'd actually written a fake troll sort of review of The Hobbit last year when the last one came out.
Yeah.
Here's some of it. The first few reviews of The Hobbit and Unexpected Journey have arrived. Speaking as a huge fan of this movie, which I look forward to seeing for the first time when it opens, I'm thrilled that most of the critics love the movie as much as I plan to. But a handful of reviews have made negative comments about it, and this saddens me. Why would a reputable publication allow its movie critic to behave so unprofessionally? Look, I know that opinions are subjective. I thought Return of the King was the best Lord of the Rings movie, while some of my friends thought it was Fellowship. And we're all still friends. But a difference of opinion is one thing. Saying something as blatantly false as the movie itself is a bit of a slog, as the Hollywood Reporter did, is borderline irresponsible. A bit of a slog? Are you serious? Did Todd McCarthy even see the same movie that I haven't seen yet? It's absurd to suggest that The Hobbit is anything less than a great movie. I don't have to watch it to know that. Did you notice that it's directed by Peter Jackson, who made Lord of the Rings trilogy, a.k.a. the finest artistic achievement in the history of mankind? Have you not seen the trailers, which make it abundantly clear that The Hobbit looks and sounds exactly like Lord of the Rings? It even has a lot of the same cast members. To get even more directly to the point, it's The Hobbit. Obviously, it's a great movie. Why? Why? Because it's The Hobbit. What part of this is not clear?
That's great.
That's good. That's very, very on tone.
And still, some of these so-called movie critics don't get it. I put the term in quotation marks because their negative Hobbit reviews prove they are not legitimate critics.
Can I use your site to write a review of The Hobbit, which I'm going to see tomorrow? But instead of actually reviewing The Hobbit, I just review Pacific Rim. But never acknowledge that it's Pacific Rim that I am reviewing.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
Start talking about Charlie Day. That'd be great. The only part of The Hobbit that was good was Charlie Day. And even then...
This is like if this was a... Just say stuff that's blatantly... Like, if this was a book, it would never work.
Wizards were not to scale.
Yeah. Like, I can't believe these Hollywood people just write these crazy movies with like no basis in literature.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
What do you keep spitting in that thing?
I took a snooze.
Oh, that's like the tobacco?
Supposedly you don't have to spit it. It's like dip that you don't have to spit.
Yeah. Why are you dipping?
Cause it makes you kind of loopy and talkative.
Yeah. Yeah. You're dipping though. It's bad for you.
I know.
You're going to get
Dude, you're chewing nicotine gum.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Except for there's no tobacco in it. There's tobacco in this, isn't there?
Do you think tobacco is the bad part of tobacco?
I'm pretty sure tobacco is the bad part.
No, I think it's nicotine that's the bad part.
No.
Nicotine's the active ingredient.
Nicotine is just, yeah, but nicotine is nicotine a carcinogen?
I think so. Isn't that?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
I always thought nicotine was like, was fine, but everything else was bad. I thought the nicotine was like just the addictive part, like you know, like the heroin part in like a nice speedball. You know, it's like
right
where it's like
the cocaine and the coca leaf.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
like the good part. Like that part's not bad for you. It's the rest of the coca leaf.
What was that?
Fuck?
Oh,
I was gonna type in how come nicotine. And I got how come nice guys finish last? How come Nidoqueen can't breed? Which I think is a Pokemon.
Yeah, it's usually then,
what?
Yeah, usually a lot of those ones that you don't understand, they're usually Pokemon. A lot of
how. And then the last one is how come nice guys never get the girl? Maybe because Nidoqueen can't breed.
Yeah, they're probably related somehow.
Yeah.
Wait, does Hobbit come out tomorrow?
Brett's seeing it tomorrow.
How?
Special.
Special.
So Brett. I can't wait to hear what you think. Did you see the last one?
Yeah. I found it really very similar to like cut up pieces of the other three movies.
Right. But worse.
Yeah, but worse. But worse.
So you're someone who, like, I'm not a character designer. I'm colorblind. I really have no authority in the realm of graphic design, but
are you really colorblind?
Yes.
Oh,
well, red green colorblind.
I'm sorry.
The most common kind of colorblindness.
Sorry, I didn't know that. So you can never be a pilot.
That's what they tell me.
Or a lover.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just like licking on her leg, and she's like, no. Clit's over here. Clit's over here, Maverick.
At a stoplight, how do you know? How do you know whether to go or to stop?
Just grinding instinct. On a knee, just back of the knee.
But how do you know?
It's like 3/4 instinct and then 1/4 the fact that green is on the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah,
they so do that.
So what do you them. See? Do you see blue?
No, I can tell that's a pretty easy difference to make.
Uh-huh.
They use a very saturated red and a very unsaturated green.
Uh-huh.
So the red looks red. The green sort of looks like a gray.
Uh-huh. So does Christmas just look
brown,
really brown to you, like
totally
red and green.
Now I can see the saturated forms of the colors.
What does a forest look like to you?
It's got to be terrible, right?
I literally can't see it for the trees.
Nice.
So yeah. Anyway, I was saying I'm not a designer, but I found all of, like most of the designs. They were just sort of they weren't interesting. It was more just like. Shrill ugliness, like there was like
he enjoys a good colorblind palette. Really, he likes the muddy mud colors.
Like everybody's got a goiter or like a booger hanging or like.
Yeah,
I really think he misses calling as a guy who designs fake vomit.
Yeah,
yeah. The good guys' costumes are all right. I think they do an okay job with that.
Okay,
but yeah, pretty much all the bad guys are just not remarkable.
They're not
very, very gray.
They're not luridly grotesque. They're just sort of gross.
Yeah.
Well,
it's I don't know. I tend to go for the more style-y bad guys. Like I like it when they put a little flash into it.
In what way? Like what example?
I like it to push past what a realistic imagining of a fucking dirty shithole
yeah.
Middle Ages medieval, you know, bad person would be.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'd like it to be a little interesting, like they have a whole culture instead of just like, oh, I fell in the dirt because it's poverty.
One of my favorite designs of a bad guy is the Pale Man in Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, where he's got that's good. With his flappy arms.
Yeah.
Arm flap. It's good stuff.
And he's got the eyeballs on his hands.
I don't know why they don't just let Del Toro draw monsters all day. Because I'd watch. I don't want to, you know? I don't want him to. I thought he fucked up the robot designs in the Pacifics, but I thought the monsters were pretty good.
Yeah, well, they let him make it a video game, and he's like, well, what if the Russian robot was, like, strong and
sturdy?
Yeah, but
he just wants to draw scary monsters. Like, that's all the Hellboy stuff. He just wants to, like, put eyes in weird places and make them all have weird fucking horn crowns and stuff. Let them do that.
Yeah.
He's all right with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fill those sketchbooks, kid.
That's what I'm saying.
Draw. Math class. Who needs it? So, yeah, I don't know. I'm mostly going because I'm special and I want to see how badly. I imagine there's going to be catacombs that they have to run through because they're being chased, and they'll probably be like multiple tiers that the camera swoops through as they are being chased through the catacombs.
That sounds right.
Possibly a giant insect.
Yeah, almost assuredly some sort of insect.
Yeah, they got Sheila.
One miraculous recovery where it looks like all hope is lost.
There's a lot of all...
Are you mocking it right now? Hold on. Yeah. Hold on. Stop.
Yeah, you shouldn't even review it, dude. You're obviously not a fan.
Yeah, you're not. If you're not into it, why would you even see it? You know, like, if you're not... You know, give your ticket to a real fan and give your review to a real fan.
Yeah.
Vince, give your website to a real fan.
Okay.
Do it.
Let me review.
Let the fans look. What we're gonna do differently that everybody's been doing differently is we're gonna let the fans talk about it. You know, like usually they get all these.
You should do that. You should pick the worst offender of your review of a movie like Pacific Rim or The Hobbit, and tell them that you're gonna post their article. It's like, you're right, you know, and I'm apologizing, and you should, the fan, write a 4,000-word essay.
Yeah. I might. Yeah.
That's like the equivalent of someone saying stand-up comedy is easy and just taking them to an open mic and be like, go ahead, try your luck at it.
You could break that person. You could snap them in half and just drink the marrow out of them.
Yeah. But
Wouldn't that be nice?
Sure, I like marrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then let everyone else comment on their shit. Here's my thing, Vince.
Feed
if you're
going to
write some snarky article, if it's going to be filled with snark, you know, in this day and age of rampant negativity, I just feel like, you know, we've had enough of the snark of the internet, and it's time for a new age.
Like, we're
I saw the way back.
And positivity.
You guys want to talk about the way back?
Sure.
Yeah, the long, long ago?
No, it's a movie.
Oh,
it's called The Way, Way Back.
Oh,
it's not the concept of it.
I thought we were talking about the long, long ago.
No,
the before time.
I can see how you'd make that mistake.
Yeah.
When someone says The Way, Way Back, you think they're talking about, you know, the Middle Ages or maybe the caveman days or
whatever days,
or even, you know, like the 60s
or maybe even like the 90s when we grew up.
Mm-hmm.
How did that title apply? I never got that.
That is weird. That wasn't a. Not a really apt title.
What's The Way, Way Back?
I had a hard time remembering that I saw it when we were trying to think of things to talk about.
It's
a movie about a kid who's coming of age in the, what is it, 80s, 90s?
No, it's right now.
Right now.
All of iPods.
Right now. It's right now.
Okay.
As I was saying, it takes place in the here and now. It's called The Way, Way Back for some reason. And he comes of age at a water park. Where Sam Rockwell works.
Oh, okay.
And Dean Pelton from Community.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm.
I like Sam Rockwell.
Well, here's the thing.
Sam Rockwell is great. Anything that they put him in, he is great. And I love him. And he's my friend.
It's about a little kid who gets to be Sam Rockwell's best friend for a while. And I found that to be very cathartic.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's almost as if he was his power animal. If you could summon Sam Rockwell with a magical ring or some sort of talisman that you found under like a cave.
He was absolutely the most Sam Rockwell that he could be.
False. I think the gif of him dancing is the most Sam Rockwell that Sam Rockwell could be.
Okay, but it was up there.
Yeah.
And that's what I appreciated about it.
I can't argue with that, but there wasn't much more.
It's not really a Brett movie. It's sort of about, you know, feelings and emotions, families.
Brett doesn't like those
boys
things.
And girls.
I like all those things.
I will say the girl, like his love interest, they sort of just created like everybody's idealized idea of what like a perfect teenage girl would be like. Like, she totally understands you, bro.
It just seemed I don't know. It didn't. It wasn't weird enough. It never made me feel awkward when it should have.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of opportunities to sort of like make you uncomfortable because you recognize that and empathize with the characters. And mm-hmm. it just felt like it was caught between, I don't know. It never hit any of the hard notes. I feel like, was it Adventureland actually did a little more of that?
It sounds like the same movie. That's like what the movie sounds like. When you guys are saying The Way, Way Back, I'm just thinking of Adventureland.
It's all kind of the same thing. Well, coming of age, you're weird, and you kiss a girl.
Right.
Touch a boob. And then they have the family blowout that would sort of never happen in a public place where people are just, they're going deep digs on each other.
Yeah.
And while there's a big party going on around it.
Yeah. It was written by someone who hadn't actually had much experience with that. Like, it was from an external. Like, they're like, let's write a weird coming of age thing. And they've had no real weird coming of age experiences.
Right. They've been blue balled.
The whole thing felt secondhand. And then Sam Rockwell's just like, I am Sam Rockwell and I am the best.
Yeah. That goes a long way in my mind.
You touched his hand one time, didn't you?
Did I touch his hand? I touched his shoulder. He touched my shoulder.
Oh, cool. That's so cool.
I know.
Which shoulder? Which shoulder did you touch?
My left one. But he reached all the way around my back.
You touch your upper back.
My whole upper back.
Your shoulder blades.
Yeah.
That's hot.
Yeah, that was good.
He's cool.
So, you know in that movie how he's got the stepdad who's like a dick? It was kind of a...
Yeah, Steve Carell.
Yeah. So have you been watching State of Play at all on HBO?
No, I forgot the password to go.
It's like a sports... It's about parents who are... Sports dads. Parents, like the nightmare sports parents.
Yeah.
And man, watching that, you forget that there's these poor kids out there that have to live, they have to live like 18 years with it'd be like living 18 years with the most horrible person.
Are they like stage parents, but they're athlete
but worse.
Parents?
Yeah, worse.
Is it reality?
It's a documentary show, and I think there's like four different. Like one's a basketball parent, and one guy I think was the worst, who was like trying to get his son to be good at football, and he just basically did that by like berating his son, like nonstop.
That's a mistake. You gotta stop feeding them.
Just nonstop belittling and nonstop like, what are you, fucking idiot? Like stuff like that. And then even just trying to have like a conversation with his dad. His dad's like, what are you? You got to do everything. You don't question the things I say. You got to do them.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, it sounds sad.
Where everything's a life lesson, even though it's just the dad being sort of a dick the whole time. And then you watch the kid play, and he's terrible at football because he's just super tentative the whole time.
Yeah, he's just in his head the whole time. Like, I don't want to football.
He's used to somebody yelling at him constantly. Jesus. Basically, the dad has ruined this kid's like entire life.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it was just... You watch a movie like The Way, Way Back, and you're like, that's kind of messed up. The dad's kind of mean. And then you see the real version of that where it's there's no possible happy outcome. It's just this person being horrible to their child.
And all you can do is look on helplessly like, well, that is going to ruin that kid. But nothing I can do about it.
There isn't.
Yeah. What can you do?
You can't really take children away from their parents for being assholes, which is a shame.
There was this video I saw.
Which I would argue might be even worse. Like, there's certain parents in that show where you're like, if this guy was just brutally beating the kid every once in a while, that would be better than what the kid is dealing with.
Then it would be a conclusion. He could be removed from the child.
Right. Or
the child might have a chance post awful parent.
No, I just think that...
Or like the worst thing that could happen is that kid grows up, has his own kid, beats that kid. But like that's... I mean...
I think that there's kids in that show that would be less emotionally scarred by physical beatings than they are by... just being belittled and just talked to death on a daily basis.
All these kids are going to develop speech impediments. Like this is going to be really bad for these kids.
Yeah.
I saw a video online of a parent playing, this neighbor was taping his neighbor and, neighbor's son playing catch. And then like in between catching the ball, he just went over there and just started beating him with a belt. And then, like, he goes back, and then they play catch again, and then he beats him with the belt again. And
as punishment for something?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. For not catching the ball, right?
Okay. And well, that's fair.
The neighbor starts yelling at him, is like, and he says something like, "You got a problem with the way I raised my kid?" And then he calls him a dick face or something. I don't know. It's a great video, but I just remember thinking, like, yeah, there's nothing you're going to be able to do about this.
No.
Like, you know, like he wasn't beating him on the face with a belt. He was spanking him, but real hard with a belt. And it just was like, oh, no, that kid is just doomed.
Yeah.
It's just a doomed kid. Like, what can you do? It's not like the state can intervene if he's, like, not, you know, if he's spanking him. Because spanking kind of toes the line, right? I mean, I think you're allowed to spank.
Yeah, I don't know if you are. I'm not sure if you are.
I don't know. Spanking for me was never about the pain. I got spanked publicly. That was
more about the sexual.
No, it wasn't about the sexual, although now that I think about it, there's a connection there.
Okay.
But it's about the humiliation.
So like, I got spanked publicly as a child. You know, also, side note, sometimes I let girls choke me out in minivans. They spit in my face.
There might be a connection, but I'm not willing to say conclusively so.
Right.
My dad used to just spank the shit out of me in public. That was the thing. And it was more about the being humiliated than the pain. Like, it didn't hurt that much.
Right.
But it was like, now I have to stay in this McDonald's and I have to eat food with the guy who just beat me. In front of all these people.
Yeah, and all these people are looking at you.
Yeah, they're all
like,
looking at me.
Oh, man, that kid just got his ass spanked.
Yeah, what a bad kid. You know, that kid was being bad, and he got what he deserved. And, you know, so. And then I would masturbate right afterwards. I don't know. I don't know.
Sometimes I watch girls falling in quicksand.
Yeah.
And I come.
And then I spank myself, and I'm like, this is normal. I'm just saying.
Everything's good. Everything's good.
Yeah. It's all relative. To the spanking, I think. But, yeah, I don't know. Beating your kids is fucked up. Is that what we were talking about?
Mm-hmm. You should write an editorial about beating your kids, how it's wrong.
Yeah.
That'll probably get a lot of likes on
I
Facebook.
Think it would. I mean, Upworthy might have something to say
right,
about it.
Right.
Like, because that's pretty Upworthy. Before you watch this video, will you commit to a life of not beating kids? Give us your email address.
I wrote a speech in... what, like senior year of high school that was just so manipulative about child abuse. And
wait,
and
why did you write a speech?
We had to. That was part of like the class.
Oh, a speech class. Okay.
Yeah, and you had to tie a poem or something to a song.
Oh, God, I would give so much money to see Brett do that.
Well, no, I embraced it, and I wrote this super, like, you shouldn't hit your kids, and it's bad, and people who do it are bad, and just so saccharine and manipulative and Upworthy.
Yeah.
And I remember my teacher pulled me aside, and she's like, that speech was incredibly well-delivered and completely full of shit.
That's cool that your teacher could see.
Brett, yeah. I know that's not you. I know that's not the way you think.
Were you beaten as a kid, Brett?
I was not. I had a remarkably good childhood.
Oh, well.
Which, I mean, just goes to show, it doesn't matter how good you raise your kids, they could turn out like me.
Yeah. They could be making crowns of bones.
Hey, come on.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
It's a good life, though.
I think you should beat your kid, like, twice.
Oh, definitely.
Me? Just in his whole life. Just be like, Just let him slip once and let him push you over the edge just so you know that that is a possibility.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a regular... You don't want to terrorize the kid.
Yeah, but just so you know, like, hey, remember that one time I beat the shit out of
just,
you?
Just
that
let him
could happen again.
Let him have it in the back of his mind. Like, if I cross the line with somebody,
No. Not even cross the line. You just randomly, one day, go into the room, beat the fuck out of them. And you never have to do it ever again. Just let them live their life in fear.
Where he's just like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
And then just go, no. Because
that's how we play catch.
Yeah.
Well, there's a good line in Survival at Auschwitz where the guard does something fucked up to him. And he says, why? And the guard just says, there is no why here.
Yeah. That's true. That's what I would say to my kid.
Yeah,
there is no why here.
Yeah.
And then I would snipe them. Yeah. No, beat your kids, man. I agree with that. Like, sometimes I like to go, as a stand-up comic, go on stage and go, hey, beat your kids. Am I right? Beat your kids. All right, guys, that's been my time. And then I walk off stage.
Shit's crazy out here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I just agree with it. Whenever a black comic tells me to beat my kids, I'm like, I will beat my kids. because they're right.
That's true. Sort of on topic. So Uwe Boll, he's a German filmmaker, and he has a cooking show, apparently. And I think it's interesting because he basically talks like every stereotypical Nazi that we whose voice that we do.
Oh, this is great. I'm excited.
So, we're here at La Croatia, my favorite restaurant in Vancouver. Look at here. Come over here. Come here. This just came from delivery. This is the tomatoes. They
is it tomatoes?
Collect and present the best food in Vancouver, the most freshest. And he has family dinner. That means they feed you. And I will present course by course. Course. This is the back entrance. Only professionals use it.
He has definitely got the most Nazi voice I've ever heard.
No matter what he says.
Is strong and is coming back, basically, to more the older years. Try it now.
Try it. This is good wine.
Excellent. So when we drink this, actually, we drink our Montesquieu before. So we go uphill because you cannot drink that Tignanello and then Montesquieu or something else or Primitivo or something because then it's just.
You must never drink the white wine before you drink the red. It's verboten.
Is he filming that on a camera? Is he just in a restaurant talking into his phone?
It sounds so bad. You're like, dude, aren't you a filmmaker?
It looks like he's talking into an iPhone, I think.
Yeah.
That's kind of adorable.
Yeah. He's a cute Nazi man.
Yeah. Probably likes the Jews.
Yeah. They are best friends now.
No, we're cool.
Look at the dog and the cat. They are eating together. Yeah.
We were mad for a while, but we're cool.
Look at them. They were chasing each other, and now they are friends. Yeah. Look, they are inseparable. Isn't it nice? Like you're waiting for him to say something terrible, even though he's really saying something. Like, look at them. They are so fuzzy. Yeah. And now I crush them under my boot.
What's this?
This is Rebecca Black.
Ooh, she put out a new song?
She did. You know what it's called?
I don't.
It's a sequel to Friday.
Oh, Let It Be Saturday.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, I think I think they took the heart and soul out of the Arc Music Factory.
Oh, no.
Because she went away from Arc Music Factory. She's like, oh, you know, she does the thing like Miley, where Miley Cyrus is like, yeah, I'm not Hannah Montana anymore. So now I have to get fucked in a dirty gutter.
Holy shit. Is Rebecca Black going to, like, show some skin?
No, but just the musically, she's, like, trying to be like, oh, I'm not Arc Music Factory. And you're kind of like, well, that is all that made you interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
Guys, let's not do this.
No, we're doing it.
This is my jam. Where is the peanut butter?
Peanut butter? She grew up.
See, she's in college now.
Yeah. Oh, that's what that is? She's in college?
I think. I mean, it's weird.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like she's in college, but Friday was 2 years ago, and I could have sworn she was like 13.
Yeah, she looked so young.
And now it kind of seems like she's in college, which... Well,
she doesn't have braces anymore. What the fuck? What are we doing? What do we do this for? Why are we on the internet right now? Why are we recording things into your fucking computer for 2 hours when she's got 10 million, almost 11 million views on a song called Saturday, which is a sequel to her song Friday? We're fucking up.
She's a star. You're not. We're not stars.
Yeah, but we...
I'm okay with not being a star. Listen, she's got star power.
I'm not saying that we should be stars. I'm just saying, why do we even try?
Okay.
Because she's got 11 million views on this song, Oh, man. What is that? Dave Days? Oh, her and Dave Days are doing this song together.
Yeah, there's a guy named Dave Days. It's apparently some sort of YouTube star that she hooked up with. Maybe Dave Days is where all the views came from.
Maybe.
Hey, do you guys know there are YouTube stars? That there are people entirely removed from anything we've ever heard about making like upper six figures?
What? I didn't know about that.
Yeah, they make $1 billion.
Yeah, no, there's
is that six? No, it's like nine.
They're making $100,000.
Yeah,
and you wonder who the people watching are because you watch it and it's sort of
it's just people talking.
Yeah, it's
and
not
they're just like, I parked my car here, and then a guy did this. Have you guys seen the guy who got his car towed?
Mm-mm.
I don't know. It's just some YouTube star. It doesn't matter. The point is there's all these YouTube stars who are famous people. But only within the world of YouTube. Meanwhile, man,
it's confusing.
I'm just saying,
you got to get a webcam and a blog, dog.
I guess so.
You know, dogs have blogs these days. I've heard
they got dog blogs.
Yeah, well, dog with a blog.
Dang.
Do you know dog with a blog?
Nah, dog. We got a dog blog.
Speaking of
words.
Raw dog blog.
Come on.
He sells it. He delivers it right.
He does. He really does.
He does. It's not. It's not the letters. It's the heart. It's the magic. The heart.
So, on the subject of pseudo celebrities, Tila Tequila.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you've been keeping up with her.
I've never kept up with her.
But, I think she's having some sort of anti-Semitic meltdown.
Yeah. Wait. What was that?
Okay. So this is one of her status updates. Synagogue of Satan are among us in full force. They put on their meat suits and pretend to be like one of us, but they are not. Do not be deceived by these, quote, chosen ones of Satan and Lucifer.
Hey, meat suit is my term.
Their God, good night, everyone. This war is almost over. That is why the Zionists are trying oh so very hard at their last attempts to mislead mankind. They got booted out of heaven for a reason, and now all they do is cause war on earth. They will never change.
Whoa! Is this real?
Yeah.
At first, it was kind of vague, like maybe she's talking about lizard people, but then she cuts kind of to the chase.
Yeah, she really does. Just get right there.
Oh, if that's too vague for you, there's another one.
Holy shit.
There's another blog post that she has entitled, I can't find it now, but it's basically, it's called Why I Sympathize with Hitler, Part 1.
No, no. What? You're fucking with me.
No, I'm not.
Tila Tequila is an anti-Semite?
Yes.
This whole time? Wait a second. Hold on. Well, some of these pictures that you're showing, though, you have to click on because I have to see. Like, above there was
well, the beauty is that it's, like, interspersed with her slutty music videos.
Oh, that's good. I mean, by the way, one way to get page clicks is to insult Jews. So maybe, Vince.
She's like the Illuminati. And also, here I am with my top off.
Oh man, hold on. So wait, scroll up. There was a one that had Moses.
Okay, that one's not. That one's a little vaguer than.
Was Moses wearing a top?
Yeah, Moses was atop the mountain with his two tablets.
Well, there was also.
That's wow.
There was also one of 9/11 where she had the two towers and they both had Stars of David on them.
Wow.
I don't even know what she's trying to symbolize
there. I don't
either. Very strange.
So there's
the Jews did 9/11. That's a pretty common.
Oh, it's not. She took that one off. But there's definitely a blog post called Why I Sympathize with Hitler.
There's got to be a mirror online. I have to hear this. This is. I always get really excited when I read blatant anti-Semitism because it doesn't really exist so much anymore, at least in America. I mean, anti-Semitism exists, but blatant anti-Semitism is looked. It's down. It's well, so.
She says she's not anti-Semitic.
Well, of course not. She hates Jews. Would, yeah. She doesn't hate Semites, and Jews. Like, you know, Jews aren't real people. So. Wow. She really. Oh, man. Oh, I'm excited.
Why I sympathize with it. Well, see, the problem is all her posts are about 12 million words and they're all.
Wait, is she a YouTube star? Is that the connection? Is that how we got on this?
Well, she's a MySpace star. So she was pre YouTube.
Yeah, she was a MySpace star. Then she was a TV star. Then she got shit thrown at her at the gathering of the Juggalos.
I have never respected. Clown mob more.
Yeah, I know, right?
I, just like you, used to view Hitler as an atrocious monster. How could such evil exist in this world? As a matter of fact, I even made a YouTube video a while back showing sympathy for the prisoners of World War II, so you cannot say that I am racist or anti-Semite.
That's the speech.
I was merely
like, hey, great video, excellent use of lens flare, totally full of shit.
And she's got lots of pictures of Hitler like playing with puppies and stuff.
Yeah.
I was merely brainwashed, just like all of you have been. Sure, of course there will always be casualties of war, and those of you who oppose my views or want to say hateful things about me for sympathizing with Hitler need to realize just how deep this fucked up propaganda goes and attempts to cover up the true historical facts that took place.
Oh man, this is so great, guys. This is so great.
I would like to get... She has a lengthy aside about Vietnam. Now I would like to get back to telling Hitler's side of the story and why my change of heart for him and my sympathy and compassion. When I woke up to the truth in this world filled with lies and dug a little deeper into the true stories behind what really happened during World War II, it just brought me to tears. It brought me to tears because here was so-called monster that I used to hate. Why? Because the media told me to hate him. Because I watched a million movies about what a devil he was and all the horrible things he did. She's a lengthy prefacer, I'm just saying.
Just get to the meat about the Jews. That's like...
With that being said, I just wanted to say that did any of you know that Adolf Hitler actually offered a peace treaty to end the war, but the U.S. president at that time refused Hitler's peace offer? Yes, it is true. Are you actually surprised considering the
United
States... I like
how she assumed that we're going, that's not true! Like, yes, it's true!
Hitler was a good man, and it takes some fucking balls for someone to say this out loud in this day and age.
Hey, she's not wrong there.
Especially for a public figure like myself. But you know what?
Yeah, all right. Well, it doesn't need to go that far.
Yeah.
Someone needs to speak the truth without fear. Otherwise, the dark cabal who currently control the world and all of the world bankers will continue to feed you their lies, feed off your emotions.
Oh, there it is.
You're born of the internet, you return to the internet.
Yeah, it's like
Mormonism. You can have a brief moment of sanity at about sophomore, junior, or high school, but no matter what, you're going back into Mormon college and you're going to come out with 30 kids.
Oh, man, that is great.
I don't see anyone that is brave enough to save the American people like Hitler was willing to save the German people.
What?
You know why? Because all the American politicians have been infiltrated by the enemies.
Totally.
The same ones who have painted Adolf Hitler out to be a so-called monster. Hitler never wanted a worldwide genocide. That is the biggest lie ever, nor did he want the genocide of all the Jewish people. All he wanted was to be able to feed his people from the Depression, defend his country from being attacked unfairly.
Right, by invading
fucking
every country
just
around.
Just constantly mad-dogging them, just hanging out there, shouting with their fancy pastries.
I feel extremely compassionate and sympathy for the man with a ruined legacy, as well as forever condemned great people of Germany. They are some of the nicest people I have ever met, and that is the truth.
Yeah, that's true.
Hitler was also a vegetarian and a huge animal lover.
Those are true. He was a vegetarian and an animal lover.
Well, she says this is all going to be continued in part 2 and 3.
Did she never make part 2 and 3?
Oh, she hasn't yet.
Wait, when did this come out?
This came out,
man.
This is December 7th.
So. Oh, man.
On the
the day that Pearl Harbor was bombed.
Right.
That's so... She's great, man. I always, like... I love blatant anti-Semitism because it's like... People always think that they're being like, I finally figured it out. I've discovered it. And it's the same tropes for 6,000 years. Like, it's the exact same. Like, they're like, how come no one is talking about that?
Why isn't anyone talking about how the Jews control all the banks?
Yeah. It's like, we're all quiet. We're all afraid. No one wants to say the Jews control the media. Jews control the banks. And it's just like, no, people have been pretty much saying that for...
literally the oldest story ever told.
Yes.
Older than the fucking Bible.
It's older than the Bible, yeah. It's so great. I love it because everyone always has this like anti-Semitic realization. At some point, they go like, why don't we talk about that? And it's like, I've like encountered that in college, especially people who would be like, wait, Matt, I just want to be real, like... The Jews actually do control everything, right? And I'll be like, no, but that gets said a lot. That does. It's one of those things that gets said a lot, so it sounds right. And also because you see Jewish names, you know, behind things, so you just naturally assume that the Jews must control everything. But it's great. I love blatant anti-Semitism.
Here's this one's called "A Jewish Defector Warns America."
Yeah.
What are the facts about the Jews? I call them Jews to you. I call them Jews to you because they are known as Jews. I don't call them Jews myself. I refer to them as so-called Jews because I know what they are.
Oh, right.
Wait, is this? I just want the schizophrenic break to take full hold, yeah, where she just surrenders into like just completely out of touch, where it's like, and then my hands got up and walked away and told me that I need to kill the president. like that's the only time I get catharsis. I find this is all still very ground level.
Yeah,
crazy. I want her to just collapse mentally. Oh, I want it to implode and cave in.
Oh, she gets worse.
I mean, she's getting there.
She's broken. If you want to hear, here's some crazier stuff.
Well, I just want to say what I like about this. One of the things that gets said a lot too is I'm not talking about Jews. The Jews that you see these days are not real Jews. All Jews are actually these devil creatures. Real Jews are great, okay? I love real Jews. The problem is real Jews don't exist. they don't ever mention anyone who's an actual real Jew. It's just like every Jew you know is not actually a Jew. They're actually spawns of Satan. And like but hey, if there were some real Jews out there, I probably would love them.
They would probably be nice people.
They'd probably be great people, just like you and
your
me.
Your friend Pete, he's cool.
Yeah, Pete, I bet he's great, but it's these lizard Jew people.
She's full on. Okay.
Oh, is this all in caps lock?
Yeah.
Oh, she's
Shall
angry.
I continue? Yeah, sure, we know about the underground bunkers. Old news, but shall I tell the people about the entire city inside the hollow earth?
Yes.
Shall I tell the people that you came here and left your own planet to infiltrate
this is what
ours?
I wanted.
And now some of you still currently reside on the moon? Shall I tell them that the so-called moon is actually where some of you still reside to watch over us?
It's really good.
And the moon is actually our base? Oh, let me not go into how you totally fucked the true history of the Native American African people.
What the fuck?
They were actually once very advanced and loving beings until you came here and fucked them all up just like you're doing to us now.
The Native American African people?
But guess what? Do you know who I saw when I died 7 times?
Yes.
Mind you, I grew up Buddhist, but I never got into religion much. But I'm just going to say it anyway. On the 7th near death, I actually saw the man. Yep, someone I never knew about. Someone I was not familiar with. So I couldn't believe in him because I didn't know the story behind him. But what did you think I saw the 7th time I died earlier this year?
Yes.
For 3 days I crossed over and was shown many things. Then on the 3rd day I couldn't believe it, but I saw the man. Yep, the one I didn't used to believe in before he came to me, and he is definitely real.
Wait,
is it Pete?
Is it Jesus?
I don't know.
Is it Hitler?
I don't really know.
Mel Gibson.
That's the payoff. Is that all of the vitriol building up to this point?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because her entire universe is a living hellscape from this point forward. Like yeah. her psyche is shattered, and everything is going to be awful forever for her.
Yeah.
I know we shouldn't laugh at it, but like, I'm sorry. Mental illness is sort of fascinating.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's fascinating and it's kind of funny because I mean, she's putting it down on paper. She doesn't realize she's being funny. It's unintentional. We're not laughing with her. We're laughing at her.
The more cynical among us would say that this is another ploy for attention.
Oh no! This is the crack. This is what's been building up to.
Yeah, I think so too.
This is the psychosis rearing its
final form.
Or
maybe this is the excuse for anti-Semitism. Maybe she can now be anti-Semitic because it's okay because she's crazy.
Maybe
if you have an anti-Semitic break, you need to start saying some stuff about moon people and dying 7 times in order for people to be like, okay, we can't blame her for being a Nazi.
Or what if anti-Semitism itself is a common form of mental illness?
Interesting.
I would totally go with that.
I mean, I agree. I agree with that to an extent. But there's most anti-Semitism is kind of like just based in like fear and just kind.
But
of
it's all this like rambling. It's weird that conspiracy people have so many. There's so many common threads in their psychosis. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
That's true. But then every conspiracy theorist is somewhat mentally ill.
I am going to go with that one. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, hey.
Yeah, I don't think that's wrong.
I don't think, I don't know, because I know some people who just, I mean, maybe it's like a version of being mentally ill to like kind of not accept any reality that's put forth to you unless you see it with your own eyes.
Well, I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about the part where textbook. I'm talking about the part where you jump from that to like Hollow Moons and the Elders of Zion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It all kind of makes sense once you, like, once you... You've just decided to not believe anything that you see or anything that people say.
Right. Everything's a lie. Everything's a conspiracy.
Right.
That's always my beef with it, is you've essentially disassembled your complete belief in reality as it stands. Right. And you're free to do whatever you want, and yet you pick these dumb fucking tropes that a thousand people for a thousand years.
Right.
I mean, you have stripped away all connection to cause and effect. You can do whatever you want.
Right,
yeah. You can ride that magic pony. You can be that actress chick up on stage waving the magic wand, casting a friendship spell.
Yeah.
And they don't. They go into these same troughs of idiocy.
Yeah.
I can't help but enjoy the fact that why I sympathize with Hitler is juxtaposed with Tila Tequila official new video, music video, It's Going Down.
Oh, man. I need to hear this. I hope she's got anti-Semitic lyrics. Yeah. Every time you hear my name is going down. Holocaust! Every time you hear my name is going down. Woo! Gas! GMOs while giving your babies flow, flow, not flow rider, but flow ride. That shit is on your third eye.
I didn't know why they should poop at her.
Oh, no,
they don't want to date me.
Nor you, nor you, nor you too. Well, at least she is rapping about fluoride.
That's true, and
I didn't know it was going to be that sad. I apologize.
What was going to be sad?
That she was going to be rapping about GMOs and fluoride.
No, that was okay. I was kind of hoping she'd go deeper, you know, talking about the moon bases and the Jews.
She might. It's a long song. I don't think I want to listen to
it. Yeah. Maybe we can find a lyrics sheet somewhere.
Yeah.
I want to read the libretto of her anti-Semitic opera.
But there's people that...
that was great,
there's people
man.
That comment on these...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, the commenters have got to be mostly agreeing. Like, there's got to be...
Philip Bruce Weaver
says... I think she's got a strong troll contingent. I'm thinking at least 40% egging on the psychosis.
Philip Bruce Weaver says, wow, your mind rules. I love you. Hashtag Scorpio.
That guy's great.
Washington is the new Jerusalem. I don't know what that means.
I could see it.
Lol, I remember way back on Shot at Love when I used to think, oh, Tila is a bimbo. Now it's like, wow, she's actually pretty smart.
See, this is...
Wow, okay, never mind.
I'm telling you, like, it's insane the amount of people who actually agree with this nonsense.
Is this a thing? I live in a pretty comfortable social setting. Like, I don't follow people on Twitter that make me angry.
Yeah.
And I don't really read dumb stuff or watch things that are dumb.
Oh, yeah.
Is this still a thing?
Yeah, it's pretty prevalent, especially on the internet. Once you've got like, I mean, on Facebook, it's kind of surprising because there's not much anonymity. But like in places where there's a lot of anonymity, there's always someone like, you guys are laughing, but listen to the words she's saying.
Yeah, it's not about the messenger.
Yeah, right.
Here's the guy that says, I really hope the people who are fucking up the world die slowly and painfully. Maybe I should use black magic to make them suffer. And then my other favorite thing is the right for the wrong reason guy.
Yeah.
Which is, really? It's the Jews to blame? Muslims strap bombs to children and send them into military checkpoints to blow themselves up, but it's the Jews' fault? Stop kidding your fucking selves and understand we are at war with people who have the fear of a false god in their eyes simply because they have been forgotten about and misguided by our government, who simply wants to be in charge of their countries. Oil, SMH, shame on you, Tequila, for being so blind.
It's just that no one can get it right.
Yeah.
No one can. They're all just... I don't know.
Yeah.
They're all fake and gay.
If only someone could be fist.
This whole court is fake and gay.
Your Honor, this whole court is fake and gay.
This whole court.
That's like Mr. Smith goes to the internet. Your Honor.
This whole court is fake and gay.
I'm mad as hell and I'm SMHing.
Oh, man. Oh, that was great. You have no idea. I'm going to go home tonight and just read all of this stuff.
Once you start, you can't stop.
I love anti-Semitic literature. Like, to me, it's the most interesting thing in the world. Like, I've read The International Jew by
Henry Ford.
Henry Ford. It's
great man.
Great man. An amazing, amazing man, you know?
Actually, there's a book recommendation. I think I've mentioned this before, but there's a book called 1927 that Bill Bryson just wrote about a lot of stuff that happened in 1927. And part of it's about Henry Ford. And basically, like, Henry Ford was kind of an idiot. Like, there was, at one point, he sued someone for libel because they said that he was like a, I forget what the quote was, but something like about him being a woefully inept dumbass.
Right.
And he sued him for libel, but then that opened the door for the cross examiner to basically just quiz him on basic knowledge.
Yeah.
Oh, and, to prove he wasn't a scally dingus.
Yeah.
Oh, so, whatever the 20s term was for an idiot.
And he was so dumb that people thought his stupid answers to the questions were so entertaining that there was a guy in the court transcribing it.
Yeah.
He would write it down and then go outside and then sell the transcript for like a nickel because
people
thought it was hilarious how dumb he was.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's great. He's got more of the same shit too. And it's all available online. He just had this newsletter just about like just ranting about Jews. And I love reading that stuff just because it's a part of history, you know. It's just kind of like I don't know.
He apologized later.
Oh, does he?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I'm a bit of a slowpoke.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I got something to do tonight.
So this other thing that we were going to talk about was the fake Google bus protest.
Uh-huh. There's a Google bus that takes people from San Francisco to Google.
Yeah, which is in Mountain View, which is about, you know, an hour away.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
Actually,
in decent traffic, you can go up to like hour and a half.
Oh yeah, sure. And people talk shit. I've heard people go on stage, like comics go on stage, talk shit about the Google bus. I'm not really sure exactly what people are mad about here, but
there's a whole class war thing going on,
right.
Basically.
Yeah. The New York Times has had 3 or 4 articles in the last month that are very, it's mostly based off the newly minted tech millionaires.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People who got in under the 20s on the employee count at some of these places that just went public.
Yeah.
And so they're concerned that they're driving the rents up in San Francisco.
So rents in San Francisco have gone crazy, and now we need someone to blame.
Right.
And Google.
Sure. Because it's a 49-square-mile space on the ocean in one of the most livable cities on the planet.
Yeah, in a peninsula with limited space.
Like, right.
And very strict building laws.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Heavily weighted in favor of the renter.
Right. And so it's hard to build new. There's basically just a shortage of open spaces.
I can never move back. I will not be able to rent there again in my lifetime.
You're not moving back?
Not to San Francisco. I'm going to go East Bay, motherfucker.
All right. East Bay is tight too. But it's really hard to
live. East Bay's got a lot of good stuff going on.
Okay. So there's a group protesting the Google bus claiming that the private shuttle is using the public bus stops.
Oh, okay.
But then they threw another wrinkle in it to where someone who is impersonating a Google employee is yelling at the protester.
Wow.
But who is actually part of the protest. Like, he's actually a union organizer.
Wow. So they faked a Google employee?
They faked, like, a dickhead. What their idea of a dickhead tech employee,
right?
They used him as a plant and then made a video about it.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah.
If you guys would just move out of the way.
How long have you been
here? Look, I've been here for 6 months, okay? I live around the corner. I don't need to tell you anything, okay?
How much is your rent?
Look, I can pay my rent. Can you pay your rent?
I can't pay my rent.
Can you pay your rent? Well, then you know what? Why don't you go to a city where you can't afford it? You know, because this is a city for the right people who can afford it. If you can't afford it, it's time for you to leave. Okay? I'm sorry. It's time for you to leave.
Do you want me to live in the community?
Yes, look. Look, if you can't pay your rent, I'm sorry. Get a better job.
Where are you from?
Look, I don't need to tell you that. Like, I need you guys to move right now. Like, this is ridiculous. What kind of fucking city is this? What kind of city is this? 7 billion.
Sorry, what do you do for the company, sir?
I'm a journalist. I'm wondering, I'm from out here, English. Can you just say why you're living here?
I'm sorry. I don't want to talk about it.
Can you just tell us?
I just like that the protests are so, like, sort of insular.
Right.
That they think this guy espousing the standard party line is going to, like, change. Like, oh, my God, that's so horrible that you would say that.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, eh.
Yeah, and, I mean, what's weird is that they faked a tech douchebag asshole, like... I mean, I kind of
it's
feel
genius,
like...
genius, though. It blew up. Yeah. Like, everyone erected their ivory towers with their high horses, and they all got really tall.
Yeah. What's been the reaction now that everyone knows it's fake?
It's weird. I haven't seen anyone respond to it where they're like, oh, I was an idiot and jumped on a populist bandwagon.
Yeah.
Like, everyone went silent. They're like, oh, it's still expensive there.
The whole... Well, I especially like the, like, oh, SF native, these fucking tech people coming in here.
Yeah.
It's basically an argument of who gentrified it first.
Right, yeah.
Like,
that's...
Bro, my parents were fucking gentrifying this place when you were just in diapers.
Yeah. But, hey, like, my great-grandpa was in the gold rush, and we enslaved a lot of nice Chinese people.
Yeah. Like, I get that it's... I mean, I get that it sucks if you're, like, you know, some old woman and you've been living in your rent-controlled apartment, and then some guy buys the building and decides to kick you out.
Yeah. And that's the only... That's the problem, is that, like, one of the only ways you can actually get people out of a bought building is if you convert the whole thing to condos.
Right.
So, like, the bureaucratic maneuvering involved is very unpleasant and sort of is a worst case scenario. Like, people buy buildings and then kick everyone the fuck out and turn it all into condos. So, like, there's no middle ground.
Yeah.
The problem is there's a lot of people that are just, they're just up in arms about gentrification, and they don't really offer too many ideas of, like, how to make that better.
Right. And usually the people who are up in arms about gentrification, like, a lot of them, are they themselves are gentrifiers.
Well, yeah, it's just, like, kids that grew up here who were like, oh, I was rich back in the 80s. And you're like, oh, okay.
Or even kids who didn't grow up here. There's, like, there's people who move here and are still up in arms about gentrification. But they're listen, I've been here for 5 years. I think I have the right to be mad about what's going on in my city. Yeah.
I didn't know there's going to be a bunch of tech assholes when I gentrified
this
place.
When I was here, it was all coffee shop assholes.
Hey, listen, douchebags. I moved here to protest, all right?
Yeah.
We don't have shit to protest in Ohio.
And then they're always like, man, when I was in this neighborhood, it was all, like, artists and bohemians. And now it's all these yuppie assholes. And I'm like, I kind of, I'm not sure which one I'd rather. I think I don't like.
Without yuppie assholes. Like, what happens to artists when there aren't any yuppies is they starve to death. They freeze to death.
Well, what I don't like about it is just that it's like, usually half of these artists and, like, you know, people, like, living these bohemian lifestyles, it's like their parents are the ones who who were the gentrifiers in whatever place they came from, or are the ones making money for allowing them to live, you know, their bohemian lifestyle, and for them to get pissed off at people who are working, it's like, suck a dick. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like, I'm not going to go so far as to say, hey, just learn to program, artist. No, because, like, I'm not going to fucking learn to program. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know.
It's also misplaced because the middle class is always the one that gets gutted in any revolution.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
The dudes boarding the Google bus aren't the people that you're mad at. It's the dudes flying to work in a helicopter.
Right.
Well, and it's just, no, it's the lack of, you're angry at a lack of housing, which is kind of hard to make into a villain.
Right, yeah.
And also, for me, it's a weird thing because a lot of the nativism where it's like, man, I grew up here, and, like, how long have you even been here, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's like, it's this weird class, it's fake classism, like, they're couching it in classism when it's really, like, a weird elitism.
Right,
argument,
sure.
Where I'm like, oh, so I don't deserve...
Right, yeah.
I don't deserve to be here because I chose to.
Right, yeah. You deserve to be here because you were born
in the genetic draw.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry for not being born here.
Yeah, right. It's really, I mean, I don't know. People like to pretend they're elite in one way or another. And that's like, if someone wants to be a townie, let them be a fucking townie.
Yeah, congratulations. I know a lot of people that didn't leave my hometown.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They do a lot of bragging about it too.
Yeah, right. They're all pretty happy being in the exact same place. But yeah, to me, that's just, it's weird. If you don't leave your hometown, I don't care what, where you're from, whether it's from a big city or from like a small town, if you don't leave,
at least for a little bit, you can come back. That's cool. I get that.
But,
just go look around.
How the fuck are you going to be proud of some place you were just born into, you know?
Right.
Like, I'm the best because I ain't never seen anything else.
Yeah. It just makes no sense to me.
I spit on the other ocean.
Yeah. I mean, like,
the other ocean probably sucks. It's probably smelly and gross, and it got a bunch of losers with weird teeth.
I'd understand it if you had some sort of like a religious affinity to the place. Like, I understand when you know, like Jews I know are like,
dude, why you gotta always bring it back to Jews?
I don't know, but it's the same thing. It's like when they're like, oh, I'm a Sabra. I was born in Israel. It's like, well, okay, so this guy's a religious dude. So to him, being born there is a big deal, even though he had no control over it. His parents actually flew to Israel to have their kid be born. At least there's religion tied behind it. When it's just like, I was born in San Francisco, and San Francisco is my Jerusalem, it's like what the fuck? Like, who?
I stole this from Mexicans fair and square.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know how.
Oh, God, I watched a documentary on, like, San Francisco specifically and, like, a little bit of the Central Valley. And, man, people got fucked up in that deal.
Yeah.
There was just a bunch of rednecks that moved in and then started shooting people, and they were like, you know, well, yeah, it's just white people.
Trail of tears.
It was kind of like
that's what they called it.
It was kind of like pioneers would move into a place, and then they would, you know, it'd be kind of all right for a little bit, and then there'd be a weird argument, and then one of them would shoot the Indians. And
yeah, this was with the rancheros and stuff, where there's like aristocratic families. They're like, sure, man, we got plenty of room. They're like, yeah, we want all the room.
Yeah.
Well, then there'd be an incident, and then the people that live there would be like, hey, man, what's the deal? Why are they shooting us? And they're like, yeah, they keep moving here. That's probably going to keep happening. So you guys should probably just leave.
Yeah.
Like, that's the story of Western expansion.
It's doubly sad when they're like, hey, we'd like this to stop, please. We have institutions, and it's kind of wrecking all of them.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't really see that happen. I think it's just going to keep on getting worse.
Yeah. Just wait until the police force starts being these shit's gonna get weird.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is I'd like to ride that Google bus, man.
It picks up right across.
Apparently, they let whoever wants to get on.
Yeah.
There.
I need a job, man. Those of you out there on the internet,
what have you been doing lately?
I'm a handyman.
So you I'm handy? You give handies?
I give handies out to men.
Okay.
I'm a prostitute. No, I paint walls. I install.
Now, are there a lot of Jewish handymen?
I think there were.
Really?
I think there were.
Well, Jesus was a carpenter.
Well, so Jesus, yeah. Right. And then I think I'm the second one since Jesus.
Okay. Okay. Usually they're more cerebral.
Yeah, usually we, you know, like to use our brains. No, but it just... that just kind of fell in my lap, you know. Mm-hmm. It was just I.
Well, because I've heard if you stub your finger like on a nail or a hammer,
yeah,
it's harder to count your money.
Yeah, it is. It becomes, what's going on here? Are you? Is there a second blog post that you're going to show me that you rail against you?
No, I'm not anti-Semitic. I just really identify with the things Hitler said.
Yeah, I'm a handyman. That's what I do.
Where do you?
I work at a software company. Just kind of, they have like, they're expanding their offices. Mm-hmm. And
so you just like tie cables together?
Yeah. My job is to remove the old ladies who can't make it down the stairs on their own from the building that my software company is now turning into lofts for their hookers. For their hookers.
Yeah, basically. I just carry out old Mexican ladies all day. And I say, vamanos. And
sorry, Yolanda.
Lo siento.
No, they just need a lot of walls painted, and they need like a lot of furniture assembled, and I do that.
Wait. Does that mean that you are enabling the gentrifiers?
I guess so. I don't know. They're enabling me because I'm also a gentrifier.
Okay.
So it's a gentrifying.
But you're also a starving artist.
I know.
So how does that work when you're a gentrifier and a starving
artist? I just protest against myself. Okay. It's a lot of self-hatred.
Right.
You know, hate to bring it back to the Jew thing, but, you know, we're just good at that. It's a really confusing state to be in. But it's what I do for money. I'd like to work at a software company, just sitting at a desk, like you know, typing numbers.
Like we had a place to sit.
Yeah, that'd
and like
be nice.
A mug to drink out of.
Yeah, and like a water cooler to talk next to.
Okay,
that'd be cool, man.
Oh, guys, did you guys see Homeland? So good.
I didn't see the second half of it.
Yeah.
No, it's just what
you're doing. Oh, water cooler.
I get it. Oh man,
I'm playing a part. It's not real.
I fucked up your yes.
Oh yeah, yes, yes, and I saw Homeland. Yes, and I liked it.
They would recognize you immediately and just do the full on pod people thing where they screech and then just tear out your organs.
Yeah, right. There's like,
blood.
Oh, no.
There's blood just splattered all over the Welcome Back Karen cake.
Yeah. They knew immediately I was not one of them.
Yeah.
What is
failed the quiz.
God, birthdays. They all make it like it's this happy thing when someone has
Welcome
a birthday.
Welcome back, yeah. Karen.
I remember at one of my last desk jobs, I despised my boss and I despised her boss. And it was like, it was pretty mutual. Like,
yeah.
It was pretty clear early on that we didn't like each other. And that's just how it was going to be. And it was my birthday, and I didn't say anything. And I knew that they always make like a big deal about people's birthdays.
Yeah.
And so the day after my birthday, my supervisor was like, oh, I forgot it was your birthday yesterday. And I was like, yeah, you did. And so she had to do the thing where she had to pretend like we should make a big deal out about my birthday. And I had to pretend that I wanted that.
Oh, man.
And so then nobody was there that day. So it ended up being me having a one-on-one lunch with my supervisor.
Oh, Jesus.
Where we both hated each other.
Oh, my God. That sounds like fucking hell, dude.
It was pretty close. That was probably the worst job that I've ever had.
What were you doing for that job?
I was a copywriter for College Loan Corporation.
Oh man.
So I would
that's like you know when you have those fears about crabs or scarecrows, like the archetypical low-level Freudian fears. You know those? The ones that are built in instinctually, like tigers are terrifying. And drowning is a bad thing if you don't want to do it. That's Vince's bad job. That's like
the
proto shitty job.
Yeah.
It's like, how can I use my grammar and creativity? It's like, well, you are going to proofread the manuals on this nuclear bomb and make sure that the periods are in the right place. Yeah. That's basically what it was. I was making sure the periods were in the right place and that things were lined up with the style guide on our marketing materials, which loan pamphlets for college kids that had to be customized for the school.
Yeah.
And I had to make sure that they lined up with our style guide, which we didn't have, and my supervisor refused to make.
So you just kind of made up your own style.
She's like, oh, no. She had it in her head.
Yeah.
And she would change it every few days.
Oh, fuck that. Oh, my God. That's the fucking worst.
And it was stuff like...
It was just so she could keep you in check all the time.
Well, and it was stuff like, should we put a period at the end of bullet points? And it's like, well, maybe if they're full sentences, we should. And then if we don't, and then I would turn it in. They're like, why are there not periods after this bullet point? And I'm like, I thought we decided that it had to be a full sentence.
Oh, dude.
And she's like, no, I told you on Wednesday. Oh,
that sounds fucking awful. Yeah, sucks, man. But it's still a job I would totally do
to this day that I kind of hope that she lives in poverty and an unfulfilled existence. That's how bad it was.
Was her name Gail?
Her name was Sandra.
It should have been Gail. But Sandra's good, too.
Yeah. She's from Pittsburgh.
Oh, fuck her. I would do that job in a second. Dude.
No, you wouldn't.
I know. I want a job. real bad. Like,
That's how they feed. They feed on people like you.
Yeah, they feed on the need of me having a job. Listen, I met a girl recently. All right? I met this most beautiful girl.
I need piano music.
All right, go ahead. So she was gorgeous. She saw me at a comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked online. She found me on OkCupid.
Right, right.
And she started, you know, telling me, she did like the how come thing. She's like, how come you haven't asked me out yet? And I was like, whoa, this is good.
She's yes anding you.
Yeah. And so we're talking like about things she likes to do and stuff. She's making, you know, comments about like, well, you should, you know, read my profile, then you'll learn all about me. I already know all about you. I've seen you do stand up. I was like, I don't know. It was hot. It was cool.
Yeah. It was chilling and yet alluring at the same time.
Yeah, no, I thought it was, I mean, she was being kind of blatant about, like, liking me, you know? Yeah. And then she was like, I was like, so what do you do? And she's like, oh, I'm a creative recruiter for an ad agency. And I was like, that's hot.
Can I have a job?
Can I have a job? Yeah. And she thought I was joking. She was like, ah, that's great. And I was like, no, here's the thing. I would really like a job. I don't want to be weird about this, but I am destitute and I am a handyman right now. I do stand-up comedy for sometimes money and sometimes food. I think I could do ad agency work. I think I could write ads. I think
I will wear a shirt.
I would. And then she was
look at these three clip-on ties in my closet.
Yeah, I could look exactly like Don Draper if you just gave me the money to look like Don Draper.
I would give you, if you kickstarted that, I would pay for all of it. Yeah. I would just up front, I would hit your goal on the first day
just to
make you look like, just to make you just wander around like Don Draper, kind of sad.
I'd be down for that. If I had the money, I would do it. If you could just please give me a job. And you know, I was asking politely just about it and just inquiring and just being like, but seriously, I could probably do this job, just letting you know. I mean, you already know I'm funny, right? And then she was like, no, well, we only are really looking for experienced ad people or whatnot, so we probably wouldn't be interested. Kind of like almost shirking the responsibility, like, oh, someone else does the creative recruiting, even though she is a creative recruiter.
Look, I want to fuck you. I think you're a genius, but I don't think you're employable.
Yeah, exactly. And then so I was like, all right, yeah, whatever, that's fine. And she was like, so what are you doing, you know, later or whatnot? And I was just like,
I'm looking for a job.
I gotta look for a job. Yeah, I basically didn't answer, and I have not. We haven't talked in a few days.
Tell her that you'll go out with her if she helps you get a job.
Yeah, maybe.
It's pretty simple. Girls do it, don't they?
Nah, not really.
No.
Not a single girl who I've dated has ever been like, hey, you know what? I could probably help you out with a job.
No, but I mean, girls will, you know, they use their sexuality to get jobs sometimes, don't they?
Well, for themselves.
Never seen that.
That's what I've read on the media.
Yeah, no, they use their sexuality to get jobs for themselves. Oh, you mean I should use my sexuality?
Right, yes.
I don't think it works the other way around.
Shouldn't it?
Nah, because then they stop being attracted to you. Because then they're like, oh, you are so desperate. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
Like, well, for us, a desperate woman, if you haven't had sex with her yet, is like the hottest. That's like super hot.
It's true.
Yeah. But yeah, so I don't know. I think I will message her just to go out with her, and maybe I can try and convince her again. But it turns out that I'd really like to have a job over having sex.
You should go to a fancy restaurant and tip the waiter a little extra to slide her your resume instead of the wine list.
Yeah, right. Oh, is that my writing sample? Look at how good.
Look at all those taglines.
Yeah.
And how you could easily fit those into many situations.
Yeah, so many ads could use these taglines. I could be in advertising. I just don't wanna be. Like, no, I do. That would be cool. I just want money. I mean, I don't want a lot of money.
Just enough food and
stuff. Yeah, just like enough so that I don't have to worry. Like, cuz right now I don't have health insurance. I'm almost positive I have a tumor in my brain. Like, I'm 99% on this tumor. I feel it, you know? I probably don't, but I think I do.
When do you feel this tumor?
All the time.
Does it cause you to say anti-Semitic things sometimes?
Sometimes. Sometimes I'll just blurt out, you know, things that are straight out of, like, Henry Ford's playbook, you know?
Okay.
But... I don't know.
Have you WebMD'd that to see what that might
mean? Yeah, anti-Semitism is just straight to brain tumor. That's it. Takes you right
really?
To that. Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, so we know what's wrong with Tila. And I think we know what's wrong with me.
Mm.
I just feel like I'd like health insurance, so just so
I know.
There's
Obamacare.
Yeah. No, that's good. I'm going to... But that hasn't started yet. Although, hey...
You can sign up for it.
Days away. Right? It starts in 2014?
I don't know. I was going to sign up, but haven't.
You don't have health
care. No, you guys have that city health care that's better than the state.
No, yeah, we've got, yeah, no, that's good, except for if we leave the city, then.
Yeah, then you're fucked.
Yeah, then we're fucked.
Also, like, you have fucked. To sit in a weird room with a bunch of hobos.
It's the fucking worst.
Yeah, you
got
to wash your
dude.
Hands. You put the, you bring your own Purell. You squirt it in your hands.
Dude, SF General Hospital Pharmacy is the fucking bureaucratic nightmare.
You got to sit in a room with a bunch of hobos, and then your doctor has a septum piercing. That's SF City healthcare.
Yeah, and not only that, but then I had to wait in line to give my fucking... Oh, to give a prescription that I get every month to the pharmacist. And, like, I've already been there, like, three times. And
is that, like, the drugs that keep you from doing heroin?
No. I'm not on methadone. This is, like, a psychiatric med that I take. Yeah, I'm on psych meds. Fuck yourself. Point is, I waited in line.
You don't put that on your resume, do you?
That's the first thing on my resume. I'm on psych meds. Fuck yourself. That's the that's the job I've done from 2007 to present.
Is that your objective?
Yeah.
The cubicle you assemble is just a bunch of holes you're banging with a hammer.
Objective, to keep from killing y'all.
So I was like waiting in line forever. I've been three times since I've been there just to get everything set up, for this one prescription to come through. And I get there and I give the prescription to the lady, and the lady just basically tells me that she's like, okay, I was like, how late? When are you going to get this to me? And she's like, oh, we won't get it to you for another 2 hours. I was like, I've already waited in line for 2 hours, so I'm not going to wait here. But can you call me when it's ready? And like, no, we don't call. And I was like, could you? I know, but I can't wait.
She had all the bedside manner of a DMV clerk?
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. And she's like, no, we don't call. And I was like, all right, I know you don't, but could you do me a favor? She's like, okay, we'll call. And I was like, oh, that was weird. Like, immediately she's cool with it. And she's like, what's your phone number? And I was like, it's 310. And she's like, wait, is that out of state? I was like, no, it's Southern California. She says, no, we don't do long distance calls.
Jesus.
Wait, who still doesn't have unlimited, like,
I know, that's what I said. I said, no, it's not a long distance, it's a cell phone. This is my cell phone number. He's like, no, long distance calls. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Listen, that's not how cell phones work. This is not, you will not be billed for that at all. It's, I'm here in the city. It's like, no long distance calls. And I'm looking to the left of me, there is a homeless man with a BlackBerry. And I'm like, this guy knows how cell phones work, and you don't know how cell phones work. Is
just
that what you're
saying? We have wireless. We have wireless.
Yeah, the homeless man is like, no, there's a Wi-Fi. There's Wi-Fi. It was unbelievable. And then, it's a fucking clusterfuck out there. Eventually, she just agreed to not call. And okay. I said, I'll just come back tomorrow.
Fun.
And it worked out.
I know we could go for like 3 hours on bad customer service experiences, but so recently I buy a lot of clothes on Amazon. Fuck you.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I buy a shirt that I liked. They
said I would like one bag of jeans, please.
It's a variety bag of jeans. You can pick the ones you like.
Novelty t-shirt box.
Yeah. So I got this shirt. It's a different color than the one I ordered online. And I'm like, and so I call him. I'm like, can I get the I don't want to do a return because I don't need to return something. I just need you to send me what I ordered. And they're like, well, do you want to send the one that you have back? And I'm like, I don't really care either way.
Yeah.
If you need me to send it back, I can do that. I just want you to send me the one that I ordered. It's not really a return. I just want the thing that I ordered. They're like, okay, well, you have to send the other one back. I'm like, all right, that's okay, fine. That's weird, but whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, do I have to wait for you?
What if you...
Do I have to wait for you again for you to receive it and then to send the other thing back where there's like the whole...
Yeah.
Like, why do you just send me the thing?
Just send me the shirt and make me pay for it, and I'll return this, and then you'll unpay for that.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
That was my suggestion.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, we gotta receive the shirt, and then we can send you the one you ordered. And I'm like, okay, that's retarded, but
yeah,
okay, fine. And he's like,
wait. All right. So here, at the very start of this, you shouldn't have involved a human. You should have just bought a new shirt and then returned the other one at your leisure.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you don't never involve a human. That's the you want to talk to the robot that gives you the nice numbers that you have to shout in the subway.
There's a side reason why that wouldn't have worked, but it's not.
Not important
for the story.
All right.
So
did you buy a wedding shirt?
He's like, all right. So what's your email address? I'm like, it's filmdrunk@film.com. He's like, whoa, slow down. I can't type that fast. And I'm like, okay.
FILM.
Okay. So I'm like, it's filmdrunk, blah blah blah. And then I'm like, at Gmail. And he's like, Zmail?
Oh man.
I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Not Zmail.
Zmails probably exists.
I just wanted the whole time. I was like, what planet are you from?
Yeah.
Like, where is this? It wasn't like someone from Bangladesh. Cause I think if they'd actually outsourced it, that person would have been
totally would have known what Gmail was too.
Yeah. So yeah, that was fun.
That sucks.
And then I found out later, they're like, oh yeah, the color that, the picture, the shirt's just a different color than the one in the picture.
Oh, that's good.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fun.
That's what happens when you order clothes at Amazon. Is it the shirt you're wearing right now?
No.
Yeah.
I got this one for free.
Oh, cool.
At Comic-Con.
That's tight.
Yeah.
I want to go to Comic-Con.
Danny DeVito gave it to me.
What?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's tight.
Yeah.
I met Danny DeVito twice.
He's,
when I was a kid.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was he like?
I was super little.
Super little, yeah.
I just remember going, that is a little dude.
He's kind of out of it, like a little bit. Like, nice guy, but kind
of. I think he's on a lot of drugs.
I don't know if he's on a lot of drugs. I met him, and he's like, hey, what's your name? I'm like, I'm Vince. And he's like, Breaking Bad. And I'm like.
Like Vince Gilligan?
Like, yeah, Breaking Bad. He's like, yeah, Vince Gilligan. He created that show. And I was just like, yes.
Yeah.
He is also another man named Vince.
Yeah,
you got good association, Danny.
Oh, that's weird.
I don't know if you just get used to making random associations because you have to meet people that you don't want to talk to.
You need to say something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Media training. I think you learned that.
You know, do you get the feeling that like the only guy who could handle that was Mr. Rogers? Like, the only guy who could handle being a genuine person every time you talked to him was Mr. Rogers. And everyone else just aspires to be a Mr. Rogers, but we can't as humans, and we have to take shortcuts.
I would like to think The Rock
would
be able to do that. Oh, The Rock's so good at that.
Yeah, he would be able. So? I think he would connect.
Yeah, but he's still really faking good. It.
People come up to him in the gym all the time.
You don't think he's faking it in some way? Because he's still feigning interest. He's just good at feigning interest.
No, I think he is really interested.
Genuinely interested in everyone who comes up to him.
Also, Guy Fieri, I think, would be... Really, seriously.
I don't know enough about Guy Fieri to comment.
I think
on that.
Guy Fieri would just relate to you right away. He would be like, hey, man, because he's just so desperate to connect in some way.
No, I think there's a deep cynicism underneath Guy Fieri.
How dare you?
I think that's what the bleach tips are for, is to just bury that deeper.
Mm.
Hide it. Mm. He makes a mask. He makes himself a mask.
Spiky mask.
Do you think Mr. Rogers was... smarmy, or was he?
You know, he was an actual war hero.
He was.
Yeah.
No, he was.
Oh, let him have it, Vince.
No. We'll tease it for next week's show.
Yeah, next week.
You know, I don't think it's going to be that interesting of a conversation topic now that I think about it.
I was just going to talk about how long it was the whole time. It was so long.
Yeah.
There's just a long article that we read about Snark.
Mm-hmm.
It was like so many words.
Yeah.
It was too many.
Anything else that you guys wanted to get off your chest before we go?
I don't know. I can't think of anything. I guess, Brett?
Yes, and?
Yes, and how are you?
Good.
And?
Birthday.
Good birthday, and?
Do you believe in God?
I believe.
Do you want to have a body?
You are a robot.
Yeah. You know, on that, I used to do this podcast, which is going to be coming back soon, called Where Eagles Dare.
Yeah. Why'd you guys stop?
Because we couldn't, like, pick a day that we could all do it.
Surprisingly hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. It is hard.
As we've learned tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
And other weeks.
But now me and Ryan and Jeff all live together. and
Jeff lives with you guys now?
Yeah, Jeff.
Who moved out?
Michelle. Michelle's gone.
Oh, where'd
sorry.
She go?
To New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. She's
Would she live with me now?
She could.
Why did she move to New York?
Because she got tired of San Francisco. She was ready.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. But so now we're going to start our Where Eagles Dare podcast up again.
Brett, you should call her up, man.
Yeah, you should. She liked Vince. So I'm sure she'll like you, too.
We're not really. Vince and I.
Ooh.
Don't really share the same friends.
Someone on OKCupid just liked me.
That's good. All right, so I guess we'll...
She's fucking huge. God damn it. I'm not...
The highest highs, that's the single life in a nutshell. The highest highs and the lowest lows.
Yeah, just all at once.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're so shallow. How dare you?
I'm not shallow. It's just like, she's huge.
Well,
people keep trying to make me make friends. Maybe I don't want friends.
I'm sorry, Brett. Okay,
everyone keeps saying, like, you should be friends with people.
Hold on. I just want to see what she says her body is. Hold on. Yeah, body type. Curvy. Yeah, great euphemism. One of her eyes is dead. Literally. Hold on.
And Greg?
Because she's got a...
Oof. Yeah, she definitely got a lazy eye.
No, I think that's a blind eye.
Well, what's the difference?
No.
It's a different thing.
Well, like a glass eye.
But I don't think you can necessarily tell.
Yeah, maybe it's not a glass eye. In the other pictures, it looks normal. God damn it. Why would she include the one with the glass eye?
Yeah, Photoshop that or something.
Here it goes. Was born and raised in Southern California.
Oh, Jesus, man. Right. You can't read
okay. for a while. All right. I'm done.
All right, well.
I'm a piece of shit. I hate myself so much. She's probably...
Yes, and
she's probably super cool. Maybe you should call her.
Well, you guys...
The Google voice number is 437-1829. You can reach us at filmdrunk...
Frotcast@gmail.com.
Not Frotcast.
She likes hikes. Yeah, right.
You guys, for next week, frotcast@gmail.com, we're probably going to discuss Do the Right Thing because me and Brendan and Brett and Matt Lieb watched it, but we didn't get to discuss it this week because Brendan was gone. And I apologize for that, but I hope you guys liked the show nonetheless. Thanks for Matt Lieb. @Lieb123456789.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's...
Mike is cutting together Whoop Dreams.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be done by...
Still be a few months before you guys get to see it, probably. Yeah. But now that people actually want to see it, we're probably going to try and make it into something good.
Yeah, right. Before it was just going to be like a slideshow that we'd show. and this is when we saw the guy's...
a three-pronged approach.
Nipple.
I mean, if we even like just made no dialogue and just showed people footage of it, I think it'd be interesting because the footage is just so good.
Yeah, but now it's going to be like we're going to have it make it. It's going to look good like the trailer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Brett?
Yes.
Anything to promote?
At Possum Graveyard.
Right.
I get like a 2-3 person bump every time you do that out loud.
Damn right. And he's weird. He's just as weird on Twitter as real life.
Weird. Yeah,
so real weird.
Enjoy that.
And needy, and real needy too.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you say nice things.
Yeah.
When I posted that Hobbit video, someone said that I looked tired and old.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then everyone else said you looked hot. So, like, you've got like a legion of people.
They're just being nice because one person was mean.
No, see?
People do that, yeah. It's true. It's a lie.
It's true. But it's fine. The thing is, everybody looks tired and old inside of a Denny's.
That's true. That's so, what it's. The lighting is there for.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks, you guys. Until next week, good night, and...